Dying bird box. I am
Shalom, I'm Billy Grimm. And perhaps you know that I was editor of publications for Kenneth E. Hagin for many years. One day he walked into my office and he said, "There's going to be an age change. I won't be here. It's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything is different. God is going to start bringing things from the glory world into this world. There will be more occasion of angels and activity seen. And there will be people, many people, more people will go behind the veil into the glory world and bring back a testimony of what they saw. Some," he said, "will be near-death experiences, some will not." So right away then, that was in probably 1979, I started collecting these people, and I've known them through the years, people who have been to heaven and come back with their testimony. Known them for years. Now one of my newest collections, my newest pieces in my collection, is Dean Braxton. And Dean Braxton was dead for an hour and 45 minutes. He had an amazing experience in heaven. And he recently came by Prayer Mountain, and I interviewed him. And you're about to hear the things he shared.
That a being that, which looked like a female. It wasn't a female, but it looked like a female.
It was blue.
It was blue. It was a bluish color in the sense of a bright blue sky, yet it had the color of a bright blue ocean at the same time. And it was beautiful. I mean, when I say beautiful,
But it was like a human form.
It was like a human form, yes. Yet it had arms, legs, and everything like that.
But you said seven stories or something? It was tall.
It was tall. I say seven stories, and even saying that, I may be short because it was tall. It was tall in itself, but when the ground rose up, it was even taller.
What do you do? Or she, or
what she did? What she did, I really believe at the time she was calling everything in heaven to come around the throne of God and tell our Father how much we love Him. She was literally like an instrument. You know how they play the shofar she was literally like a shofar. She wasn't looked like one to call everything in heaven to come around the throne of God and tell Him how much we love Him. And I remember when we all came around, Billy, the first thing we did was we all were bowing. We were all on our face. And then when everybody finally got there, they had received their call personally. It was a personal call. It wasn't a general call, like all, you know, how sometimes they got, the Muslims have the call, they in the morning to come to prayer, you know, that call. It wasn't like that. It was an individual invitation to you to come to the throne and tell your Father how much you love Him. And once everybody got there, every being got there, every creation of God got there, and we were all bowing, all of a sudden, I just remember, I was still on my face and my hands before the throne, and all of a sudden, I could hear on this side a group raise up, and they went at it. They were singing and praising the Lord and telling Him how much they love Him. And you could feel the atmosphere just change with it, because everything is going to vibrate because of the praise that's going to the Father. And then when their time was down, all of a sudden I got with my group and we all rose up and started telling our Father how much we love Him. I mean, it was, I think people think, it is not going to be one of those slow things that you think we're going to.
I know that.
People are going to be excited about this.
I'll tell you right now, some chink-chink so-called worship music bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and for one thing, I like happy music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think heaven's going to be a really happy place.
It's a happy place. Yeah, there's no frowning, so.
No.
It doesn't exist anymore. Not that we remember, it just doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be there saying, "I used to frown." You don't even know how to frown no more because it doesn't exist.
It won't go down.
It won't go down at all. But that
you said you saw God smile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How'd you see that?
I was looking at Him and He was looking at me. And it was during this time frame, right after.
Right here.
Right after we got done, I looked into His eyes and I saw the love He had for me. That's what changed me from calling Him Lord, God. I just call Him Father. When I saw that, it was like, oh, man, He's my Father. Okay. But He smiled. And I felt like when He smiled, He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's the closest I could. He didn't say it in words, but His smile said it, you know. And I thought, whoa, you know. I didn't know I was coming back, though. That was really near the end when I thought, really, I had, you get in with the group, you're thinking, yeah, we're all praising together. I'm a part of this group. I didn't think I was coming back. I'm telling you that right now.
So, what do we need to know to enter into worship here?
I think we have to be more aware, Billy, of what is really worship. It's not just singing.
No.
That's a portion.
No.
So it's a lot of body movement. It's a lot of actions and showing reverence. You know, one of the Greek words is lotudio that talks about worship. And that word really means serving and reverence. And when you go out and do what you did, you know, just recently, that's worship. Mm-hmm. You're serving others. And most of us don't realize that movement to serve others is still worship. When the people that are here that makes this possible, they don't realize their God is looking at them serving or worshiping at that time that they're serving. Because that is very, very much a part of what we do is we're supposed to be servants. Jesus said that he was a servant when he came here. We're supposed to be servants. And in that, it's worshiping God.
You know, my daughter, Shelley, she's a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was invited to a conference to be the worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she never had done that. She did solos and sang, mm-hmm. but she hadn't done that. And she told the lady, I'm not going to do it. No. But the lady knew her really well. And she mm-hmm. said, no, I want you to do it. So she went to the Lord and she said, Lord, what is worship anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave her this scripture. I beseech you, brethren, this is chapter 12 of Romans, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, King James says, reasonable service.
Yeah.
And the Greek says spiritual worship.
Yeah.
He said, it's serving me.
Yeah.
That is your worship.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this person's already born again in his spirit, so now he got to present his body and then renew his mind in the next word, next verse, renew your mind. But that our spiritual, our serving God is worship.
Is worship. I came to understand that. You know, that's why when I go places, I'll be honest with you, I do everything I can to outserve the people that I'm with. I do. I want to worship. That's worship.
Yeah.
You know, I know people want to serve me and everything, and God said I got to be more kinder and let them do it.
Yeah, you got to let them do it because they got to get some blessings.
Yeah, but I'm trying to also serve them. I really believe that wherever I go. And I think that's probably why, you know, my schedule, because I send you to pray for me and everything. And you know
right.
how busy it is.
Oh my.
I really believe that's why my schedule is so busy, is because when I come there, people will know I'm coming there in such a way, not only to impart to them, but also to serve them.
Dean, where do you go and what do you do?
You know, I get to go throughout the United States and also out of the country to share what it was like to die and go to be with the Father and Jesus. You know, I do the schools, public schools, you know,
now
I've been
tell
doing
us
that.
About that.
I've been doing that in California for about going on five years.
You
now.
Get into public schools.
I get into public schools. I get to show a video that the 700 Club put out a few years ago that also shows the doctor, Dr. Irigue, in it, shows my wife in it. And I get to play that before these kids. And then after it's played, I get up and I answer their questions. And then after I finish answering their questions, usually somebody else comes up and asks how many of them want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And remember the pictures I showed you of all those kids with their hands up in the air in these public schools.
Thank God.
And this is in California. I do it mostly in the Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo area, in the high schools in that way. And then I also do it in Sacramento, up in the Sacramento area, the capital of California. God's opened up for me to be able to go to those schools and share this story. You know, and so I've been doing that. I've been branching out. I've done some in Wichita before, West Virginia before, Illinois before. And then some other schools have asked me to start looking at trying to work with them on being able to come into those public schools. Now, those are I'm usually invited by the Christian clubs of those schools. So the people that come to hear me are volunteering. They come to hear me. That's why we can ask them to raise their hands to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you think of what is happening is this man that died is coming to talk about it. Those kids are interested. So
they believe it? The kids accept it?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's powerful in the sense of them believing this. The other thing that takes place, though, is that it, since it's impacted the kids, two of those high schools want me to go back next year and do a full assembly for all the kids in their school.
Now, you first went to the clubs.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go for the whole...
And usually when I go to the clubs, because of the number of kids that are coming, if they were meeting in the classroom, we have to go to our auditorium. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it always explodes, and I have more kids than I didn't. And it's every kid you could think of. I mean, it's not just the kids you think that we... we had the other groups that you know that have clubs. I had one of the groups, they stopped their group there and came to hear me. And I remember after I finished, I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that this club, it was the gay and lesbian club. They came to hear me. And when it was time to accept Jesus, a number of hands of the gay and lesbian people raised their hands.
Oh, don't you thank God for that?
And I think of Jesus, this is you. This is you all the way.
That's what he did.
Yeah. So the story, because it has the documentation that I died for an hour and 45 minutes, it has the doctor, Dr. Wrigley, saying that I was really dead, opens up the door for me to get into many places. I've talked to a number of government officials, usually one-on-one, telling them what it's like to die as a Christian and go to be with the Father and Jesus in heaven. Not only in this country, but in other countries. Somehow the government hears about me and wants me to come and talk to them. Number of churches, denomination is not a barrier for me, you know, in a sense. I've even done, I love to say it, the Amish. You know, I've gone to the Amish and talked to them a number of times about what it was like to die and go to be with Father Jesus in heaven. And then I've been with, one time I was with a bunch of witches. They asked me to come. And Billy, this is what got me. Is here they say to me when I accept it, well, we want you to talk about it, but don't talk about anything out of the Bible.
What?
You know how the Holy Spirit is. He's good. And I said, well, can I talk out of my spiritual book? And what was my spiritual book? It was the Bible.
Oh, yeah, she...
And they said, yes, you can talk out of your spiritual book. So I would say something. I said, but my spiritual book says.
Yeah, you just change your terminology.
That's right. Because it is a spiritual book.
Oh, I
see.
And
so,
the word is spirit and it's life.
And when I was finished, I love to tell what they said to me. They said, you changed our perspective on Jesus.
The witches.
The witches did. And so I don't know how many came to know Jesus. I don't know what the tick, but I've been invited in so many venues to be able to share this story.
Mm-hmm. And now I know, like, for instance, the high school kids, they can't give you an offering.
No, they don't give
But God will supply your every need. But now he wants to do it through people.
Yes.
And so we're putting it down there how they can send to your ministry and support what God's doing to you. I love the way God did it. You know, He didn't let, like for instance, in your ministry, he didn't put a gold mine in your backyard. He didn't put an oil well in your backyard. He wants people to be able to share the fruit.
Correct.
So your ministry bears fruit for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so the way people can share in that fruit is pray for you and give to you. The same way Cornelius. Your prayers and your alms have come up before me.
That's right.
So you can be a part of what God's doing through Brother Dean. By giving to his ministry. And so we'll have everything down there for you to see how to do that. And I know you'll be blessed and help him along the way. Paul said do that. He said help them along the way,
you know,
up to the next place.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord. So you go to churches as well.
Yeah, I go to a lot of churches.
And your schedule's really full.
Yeah, it's usually full. You know, it usually books out about a year ahead of time. You know, with the dates and things like that, because people want me to come. And we never require anything up front. God blesses us.
No, I don't either, but he does. He blesses you.
He blesses me to be able to go. Mm-hmm. And so we get to go anywhere that the door is open that God wants us to go. I just don't go anywhere. I listen to I pray.
Oh, sure.
I always say this. You must have been praying, because that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
If I'm with you, it's because you were praying.
Oh, Dean, we really wanted you here. And I know God gives you the desires of your heart, your own desires, but he also puts desires in you. So I've always wanted to have you for a while, you know, not a cut off, just stand up here for 20 minutes or whatever, so that we could talk about things.